Let's turn to our scriptures this morning, Acts chapter 17. ICT, help us. Acts 17. Acts of the Apostles chapter 17. Okay. We're going to take it together. One, two, go. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned. Verse 17. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Next, then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "Hey, we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak. For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean." But all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. So they should seek the Lord, and they hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, 'For we are also his offspring.' Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, 'We will hear you again on this matter.' So Paul departed from among them." Is that the last verse? 34. "However, some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysus the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them." May the Lord bless the reading of his words in our heart, in Jesus' name. Our Heavenly Father, we give you praise this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to share your word this day. We ask for the entrance of your word that is able to give life and understanding to the simple. Speak to our heart, Lord, in the language we shall understand, in the name of Jesus. Bless your word mightily in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in heaven, because we know you are in to do us good. Do that which only you can do and tell the glory. For I have no word of my own. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Shall we be seated? Once again, You are all welcome to our Father's house in the name of Jesus. I so quickly want to welcome our beloved brother, Professor Omeje, in our midst this morning. So you are welcome. Hallelujah. Appreciate my Father in the Lord who has given me the privilege that I be the one to bring God's word to us in this very second Sunday in this new year, the month of January. Our topic today is the knowable God. Can you help me echo it? The knowable God. Again, that is our topic we'll be considering this morning, the knowable God. We have just read our text. It was quite long. As we pull through, we'll begin to glean the wonderful things the Lord wants us to learn from this passage as we continue. Well, thank God who has brought us into this new year. This God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. This God desires intimate relationship with man, desires cordial relationship with man. He wants man to know him and live for him. Hence, today we are looking at the topic, the knowable God. That means we are talking about the God that is capable of being known, understood, or comprehended. Our opening verse says that Paul was disturbed by the number of idols he saw in Athens. That is the 16th verse that we started from. So while Paul was waiting for his colleagues in ministry, his partners in the missionary journey, Timothy and Silas, was waiting for them in Athens, and while he was waiting, he just saw that everywhere was packed jammed with idols that the Athens worshipped. And scripture told us he was disturbed. In fact, other translations use the word, he became angry. The Amplified Version says, as Paul looked at their idols ran, he was disturbed and rose to anger. The worship of these idols would probably have exerted some influence of godliness on the people, and Apostle Paul seized the opportunity to preach the gospel to them. Like Paul, every Christian should seize every opportunity to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Among those who were interested in what Paul had to say and were prepared to argue with him were some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, as we saw in the passage. I need to tell us something quickly about these two group of philosophers that were referred to in this passage. The Epicurean philosophers have this doctrine that pleasure is the highest good and mental pleasure the highest happiness. That is, they claimed that gratification of the appetite and pleasure was the only end in life. They understood salvation in terms of being freed from fear of gods and the fear of death. That is the doctrine of the Epicurean philosophers in Athens. And so, when they heard Paul proclaiming the gospel, what is this guy saying? Say something new. Of course, we were told that these people, every day, they sat down, and even foreigners, or what we call tourism, who came to Athens, they would just go to a particular place, they just want to hear new things. And so, every day, they wait for someone who will come with some sort of new things, and they will listen to and argue. And so, when the Epicurean heard Paul, they wanted to hold him up in his words. Another group was also mentioned, the Stoic philosophers. The Stoic philosophers, by contrast, thought that knowledge is the highest good and that the material world is the sum of reality. Stoic philosophers thought that people should live in accord with nature, recognize their own self-sufficiency and independence, and suppress their desires. This is also the school of thought. This is also the doctrine of this group of philosophers in Athens, the Stoic, otherwise known as the Stoicism. And we were told that he
history or record had it that by Paul's time, the Epicurean philosopher had degenerated into a more sensual system of thought. In like manner, Stoic philosopher or Stoicism by Paul's time also degenerated into a system of pride, too much learning. These philosophers were not sure what Paul was speaking about and referred to him as a babbler. In other words, someone who had picked up scraps of knowledge and were proclaiming strange deities, strange doctrines, strange demons according to them. They took Paul to Areopagus, an ancient court that had once governed Athens, but now had other duties, and one of which was arranging public lectures, like we do in our uni, a hall for inaugural lectures. So in this place, in Athens, they have a place like that, the court of Areopagus. Well, so this is one of the ancient courts that governs the Athens. But it got to a time that it began to handle other duties, and one of the other functions that it was subjected to was using it as a place for public lectures. And they quickly took Paul to that hall. Say, come and deliver your inaugural lecture for us. We are all ears. It took its name from the hill of Ares, that is the hill dedicated to the Greek god of war. Some translation says it is hill of Mars, one of the planets. Now, when they brought Paul to this place to speak, they listened to him. According to them, he had come up to them with strange things, strange teachings that they have never heard anyone speak before now. And so they wanted to hear him properly. They brought him to the hall and gave him audience. Paul's commendation. Paul began by commenting on something positive. He began by telling them, I see that in every way you are very religious. His basis for saying this was the number of shrines for worship that he had seen, which had even included one dedicated to an unknown god. That was what caught the attention of Paul. Very massive temple or shrine with this inscription, to the unknown god. Some Bibles had it in uppercase, while some use them mixed with small letter G. By beginning in this positive way, Paul was able to win the crowd trust, and they gave him attention for the rest of what he had to say. Now, may I tell us something here? It is said that the Greeks were fearful of offending any god by failing to give attention. So, they feared they could cover any omission by the label unknown god. Amen. Just like my people do in economics, when they are doing their econometrics, having set up their model, put in all the explanatory variables they needed to, they will put what they call the U-term, the stochastic variable, to take care of any other thing that can influence the model that was not included. That is exactly what these guys were doing here. So, they said, because they were afraid, and because of this mindset, possibility is what gave birth to so many deities in Athens. For every god, for every thing that comes in, they give attention. For everyone that comes, they give attention. For everyone that comes, they did to an essence. Say, lest we offend some gods, let us have a place to the unknown god. This one will take care of every other god that is coming that we have not known. And they started worship there too. So this singular act became a striking point of contact for Paul. When Paul saw the scripture, he anchored on that to reach out to them. Movement from the known to the unknown. I'll be talking on quickly. In mathematics, we are taught that you move from the known to the unknown.
from the concrete to the abstract.
Paul moves from the idea of worshiping an unknown God to offering them information about this very God whom they are worshiping in ignorance. It is said that those who practice ATR, that is African traditional religion, are still worshiping God in ignorance, since they have not learned that Jesus Christ has provided the correct way to worship God. Paul identifies the Athenians unknown God as the creator who has made all things. Not only has God made everyone, but he has made them all the descendants of one man and has assigned them their places in the world. Acts chapters 17 verse 26 that we read a while ago. This is where Bible scholars derive the doctrine or the theory of monogenism or unity of people from. Monogenism is the teaching that the whole human race descended from one pair of humans, that is Adam and Eve. The fact that all people are born with a moral and religious nature and can therefore respond to the proclamation of the gospel is a spiritual indication of this unity. That all are born in sin and are equally in need of a savior is another spiritual indication of monogenism as a doctrine. Thus, every person had the right to hear the gospel because Christ died for all. And so, Paul had this strong conviction that these Athens need the gospel that is able to deliver them from their ignorance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because ignorance is a disease and it kills. So every ignorance that had held us back before now, I pray that it will go away in the name of Jesus. Paul told them, this God that you claim to be unknown is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the one who made the entire universe. And you need to know this God. This God is knowable. Let me have that knowable again. This God is knowable. This God, you can come to him. You can serve him. You can develop a cordial relationship with him and worship him. Not as something unknown. He is knowable. I thank God for the song of our choristers this morning. The desire to know him more and more. And this is what God desires. That humans should come to him and know him. When the people in the days of Isaiah wandered away, not knowing their God, it was like God was in tears. Tell the horses, they know their owner. Animals, they know their owner. The dogs, they know their owner. But my people do not know me. And so God desired that we should know him. God desired that we should worship him. God desired that we have a cordial relationship with him at all times. And this is exactly what Paul saw. And he seized the opportunity to bring the Athens to this God that is knowable. And we need to ask ourselves, do you really know this God? Or you just come because others are coming? Or you are worshipping an unknown God like the Athens do in their times? The reason God made this arrangement was to encourage all people to seek him. Let's get that Acts again. Acts 17, verse 26 and 27. Media, if you can help us. ICT. Acts 17, verse 26 and verse 27. Acts chapter 17. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. 27. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. As you seek for him, you will find him in the name of Jesus. In this year of attaining his glory, you will find him continually in the name of Jesus. God had the design from onset that men would seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. That he is not far from each one of us. That is Emmanuel, God with us. Say, he is not far from each one of us. And while Apostle Paul was addressing the people, he even had to quote some of their points. Go to the next verse for us quickly. 28. As he moved to 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own points have said. For we are also his offspring. So, from what they had known, Paul took them further in order for them to have a encounter with this God who is knowable. And it's my prayer that in this year we will know him more than ever before. In the mighty name of Jesus. In this year of addressing his glory, you will know him more than ever before. In the name of Jesus. Say, God desire that we should know him. The Athenians, like other people, had acted in ignorance when they made their idols, but now they must come out of their ignorance in repentance. God's command that people everywhere must repent. That is verse 30. Can we see verse 30? ICT. Go to verse 30 quickly. Verse 30 of our same text. Truly, the times of ignorance God overlooked, God winked at, God ignored, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. God calls men unto repentance. And next subtopic, God calls men unto repentance. Repentance is necessary because God has set a day of judgment. We need to know that God's ways and judgment are perfect. He promises no redemption to fallen angels. However, the same God made provision for the redemption of man. This is possibly because God's primary interest has been man all along. Angels fell. Man fell. But God made provision for the redemption of man. But we're not told anywhere in scripture that God made provision for the redemption of the fallen angels. You see how God loves us. And no wonder the songwriter says, he loves me, I cannot tell why. He loves me, I cannot tell why. On Calvary tree, he suffered for me. He loves me, I cannot tell why. He loves me, I cannot tell why. He loves me, I cannot tell why. On Calvary he suffered for me. He loves me, I cannot on Calvary tree, Jesus had to come and suffer for humanity because of the death that God has for humanity. Man fell, angels fell, but God had no provision for the redemption of angels. But God had to run after man to ensure that he brings him back to himself. And so, if any man goes to hell, it's not because God has chosen to send him to hell, because that man has chosen to reject the offer of God and he has sent himself there. May that not be your portion, may that not be my portion. In the mighty name of Jesus, God is after man. God desires fellowship with man. God created man to ensure that man has a cordial relationship with him all the time. That was why when in deceit man gave away this wonderful position, God had to make provision to bring him back to himself. And Jesus is the way to the Father. John chapter 14 verse 5 and 6, ICD, if we may have that. John chapter 14 verse 5 and verse 6. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going and how we know the way, how we can know the way. Verse 6. He Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus told us in clear terms here, He is the way to the Father. He is the truth. And no one is able to come to the Father except through Him. And this is the Jesus that Paul had to introduce to the Athenians. And we thank God that a very clear figure was told at the concluding part of our text. That man mentioned there, we're told, is one of the judges in that court, a very prominent man among them. Another woman, Damatris, also gave her life, and many others. I'm sure Paul's heart will be filled with joy that day, that at least these people had come to this knowable God. Let me tell you, say, neighbor, God is knowable. Say, neighbor, God is knowable. And you need to know Him. If you don't know Him, it is all your fault, because He is knowable. He is not an unknown God. He has made every provision to ensure that man comes to Him, to ensure that man knows Him. As God had to put on flesh and come to dwell with humanity, and the apostles say we touch Him, we behold Him. God with us, Emmanuel, because God is knowable, and He wants every human being to come to this knowledge so that world can be saved. You need to know this God in order to be able to resist every move of the enemy. Daniel speaking about end time event noted that the enemy with flattery will corrupt those who have violated the covenant. But the people who know their God will firmly resist Him. Daniel chapter 11 verse 32. Say, with flattery, He will corrupt those who have violated the covenant. But the people who know their God will firmly resist Him. The question is, do you know your God? This noble God that we talk about, do you have a cordial relationship with Him? Ephesians says, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I want to go by NIV translation, because it brings the message clearer. Sometimes you just say, they that know their God will be strong and do exploits. What this passage is actually talking about, I think it's better put here. If you read from the beginning, it talks about when the enemy will invade people, he will come to the temple and he say, with flattery, He will corrupt those who have violated the covenant, those who have walked away from God, those who have backslidden, those who felt God is no longer worthy of their worship, those who felt that they no longer can follow the way of the Lord. So when the enemy will come, he is going to flatter them. With flattery, He will corrupt them. Who? Those who have violated the covenant. But in front we were told, however, the people who know their God will be able to stand their ground and resist Him firmly. Do you know this God? Those who know their God will be strong and they will do exploit. Oh, well, thank God. But it takes on knowing Him to be able to resist the evil one. And so, we've got to know Him. All heroes of faith that we read about in Scripture have experiential knowledge of this God. Hence, they were able to do exploits. If we must radiate His glory this year and beyond, we must have and maintain a cordial relationship with Him, a knowable God. Let us pray. Shall we rise up? Can you talk to God? Do you know Him? Thank God He has brought us into a new year. Have you thrown your faith away? Do you enter into the new year with your strong conviction that Jesus is still the Lord? Can you talk to the Lord this morning? Like in the weddings of our choristers this morning, that I desire to know you more and more. It is your desire. Apostle Paul, having spent many years, declare out that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Do you desire to know him more and more and the power of his resurrection? Can you talk to him this morning and say, Lord, I desire to know you more and more and the power of your resurrection? It takes the people who know their God to resist the enemy. It takes those who know their God to be able. Our brethren in the north are facing it so hot. We are so free down south here. And what our mother told us, I think last Sunday or so. It is when you have known him that you can say, if it means sealing my faith with my blood, I will do. But not until you come to this level. If what is happening in the northern part of the country today, if it comes here, how many of us will think, pick our Bible and say we are going to church? Think last week I was speaking with a brother in the north. We're sharing what they were going through there. Have you known this noble God? Ask that the Lord. We grant you the grace to know him more and more. Because he takes those who know their God to resist the enemy. And if it means sealing our faith with our blood, it is when you know him that you will be able to stand to such points. Even though you will say, to hell with the Bible. Let me live. Let Bible go. And if you live and let Bible go, whom are you living for? We pray that the Lord will help us to know him more and more in the name of Jesus. Our Father, we thank you for the way that come to us especially this morning about the knowable God. Our Father, it is our desire that you draw us close to yourself in the name of Jesus. You told us in your word, say, draw nigh unto him and he will draw nigh unto you. Heavenly Father, as we draw near unto you, we ask you to draw near unto us in the name of Jesus. Our Father, we pray in this year of radiating your glory, we ask, oh God, grant us over the grace to know you more and more in the name of Jesus. For everyone that is under my voice this morning, we ask, Lord, receive the grace to know him more and more in the name of Jesus. And for those out there watching us online, we pray for you also that you receive the grace to know him more and more in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will be able to stand firm to resist the evil one whenever the Lord attack on you, because you know your God. Thank you, Abba Father. Blessed be your name, for we know it is done. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with thanksgiving.